Good morning, y'all. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. Your Arizona Saturday morning tradition for put near 30 years. It's Rosie on the house, giving you a soft Saturday morning wake-up call. Man, have we got a show packed up for y'all today. Jennifer and I and Romy have kind of become intrigued here with their visits to the hardware show the last couple of years with American inventors. So we're going to have a few more conversations. We had the invention lady, as all of you remember listening last week, talking to us about what does it take to bring that one great idea to market. So today we're going to be visiting with a family that is inventing a particular shower head, as well as a family that has created a completely American-made clothing line. And that's harder than it sounds. So we'll be bringing that to you in the 7 o'clock hour. Of course, the 8 o'clock hour, we've got the outdoor living segment. You always hear us talking throughout the year, primarily in the hotter months of the year, about this concept and this tactic and this strategy called super cooling. Well, the father of super cooling will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll be talking about certain particular situations where super cooling could or couldn't be a great idea. And then we've got some new Roth certified partners joining us at 10 o'clock from Isley's Home Services, talking about prepping your air conditioner for the oncoming heat onslaught. That's all in today's show. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. Now, I just want to give everybody a heads up. Arizona Game and Fish has this program. If you're looking for things to do with the kids to get them outside, Arizona Game and Fish a few years ago came up with this year-round program called the World of Wonder. And they take circumstances, situations, certain localities, and certain wildlife species and elect to highlight them for you and your family. They are bringing back the Bighorn Sheep Tours on Canyon Lake for July 1st and 2nd. Now, seating is extremely limited, so you're going to have to jump on this really quick. Again, it's open to kids 10 and over. You have to go to their website, azgfd.com. Right there on the home page, you'll see events. Click on the events for the Canyon Lake Bighorn Sheep Tour. You'll book your seat, and I'm telling you, you're going to have to jump early because these seats go really fast. Very limited seating. You're going to board one of the Arizona Game and Fish work boats with Arizona Game and Fish biologist, and you'll be touring the lake looking for the bighorn sheep that occupy those steep cliffs in and around Canyon Lake. In the hotter months of July, those bighorns tend to come down and reside much closer to the water. The chances of seeing them are much greater in the heat of the summer. And you have the added bonus that the sheep will just be finishing their mating season. Have you ever seen two bighorn sheep rams challenge each other for dominance with their ballerina-stepping, head-bashing conflicts? There's a chance you could see that on this tour. So, you know, as well as see bald eagles, a javelina, mule deer, you're going to be there with an Arizona Game and Fish biologist on your boat. So it's an extremely cool event. Get your kids there. Get them on the boat. Go to azgfd.com. It is a supremely unique way to tour Canyon Lake as well as see the iconic wildlife species, the bighorn sheep. Now, for those of you that are out there camping right now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out we're in wildfire season. So I want y'all to be particularly careful. Of course, no cigarette butts out the window. That just doesn't happen. I know it makes your car stink when you put the butts out in your car. I get that. But it makes the whole desert stink when you throw that butt outside the window and it starts a fire. So no cigarette butts out. Those of you towing utility vehicles and boats, your chains can be a particularly dangerous thing if it's dragging the pavement and sparking its way down the road. Make sure your chains are up off the slab, up off the pavement. If you need to shorten them just a little bit, all you do is you just twist the chain 3 or 4 or 5 times, and it puts the chain in a bind and lifts it up, shortens it, and keeps it up off the pavement. That's particularly dangerous when you're leaving the pavement and going into some particular off-road or dirt road adventure that you would be sparking all the way down the road. If you're needing to pull off the highway for any reason, do not pull off the highway when your car is hot into tall grass. Duh, right? The catalytic converter back there underneath your car at the tailpipe is only at about 450 degrees. Don't put it in a situation where it's buried in a bunch of tinder that could catch fire. So wildfire season is here. Be particularly careful. And if you're starting campfires, you've got to check where you're camping. The restrictions have started. The outright closures have started. So be extra careful. Should you start a campfire because it's legal where you are currently camping and it's okay, you've got to make sure that fire is out. You are not going to want to be that one person that everybody's looking for leaving that campfire with just a little bit of smoldering left. You dump water on it, you stir it, you spread it out within your fire ring, you dump more water on it again, dump it. All right? Now listen, I was talking to you all about inventors just a minute ago. Join us in an interview we've got here with Jennifer and someone that invented a shower head.
I am with Carrie Austin Dunkey Jacobs this morning. Carrie has joined me by phone. Carrie and I met at the 2014 National Hardware Show, and she was standing in front of this display with this shower head, and I thought, well, what's different about this shower head? Being from the desert, I'm always interested in things that have to do with water, and this shower head was a prototype, and Carrie had this vision and idea to have this shower head that was going to save you a lot of water. And so, of course, I stopped and had to know more about it, and Carrie and I quickly bonded. I think it took us all of, what, 2 minutes, Carrie? to realize that, hey, this is a kindred spirit. We bonded on so many levels. And so, Carrie, I want you to share with our listeners about this innovative device you've created to go with the showerhead.
What I created with my team is a device that actually works with an existing showerhead. What the Epiphany does, it includes a temperature and an ultrasound proximity sensors. So I'm going to just briefly tell you how it works, then you can picture this. So the feed tube coming out of your wall, and your showerhead's connected to that. Our device fits right in between there. And then once it's installed, it takes less than 5 minutes. You stand outside your shower, you turn your water on. The temperature sensor determines when the shower's up to temperature and then reduces the flow. And then you step into your shower, and the proximity sensor tells your shower to spray at full blast when you're near or underneath your shower head. And then when you naturally step back to shampoo or lather, the flow reduces. And then if you shave your legs in the shower, the sensor sees that you're naturally bending over to do that, and it reduces the flow even further. And when you stand up and move toward the shower head, full flow resumes. And then when you're done, you just turn the water off and you enjoy all the savings. It's completely automatic.
And wow, our listeners, Carrie, with the amount of water you're going to save. The percentage is mind-boggling.
It is. In our home, we've been using our device for many years now. On average, we're saving 50 to 60%. I can tell you that there are many times I'm up in the 70 and 80%, but on average, it's 50 to 60% on all shower-related costs. So the water, the energy source you're using to heat that water, and then, of course, your sewer to treat it.
Wow. So here we are, 4 years later from when we met, or is it, I guess, 3 years, and things have changed a lot from that first one that I saw.
Well, you remember the first model, it was kind of like, you know, a lot of first products, right? It was functional, but it wasn't exactly what I had envisioned, and I knew we needed to tweak it, and there were drawings and images, and one of them really resonated with one of my lifelong friends, and he happens to be well over 6 feet tall. And he shared his frustration with me about having to duck or crouch under most shower heads. So we made that first unit a little different. We made it more vertical so that we could give tall people like him additional height. And so today, the Epiphany DFO is so beautiful and wicked intelligent. It's very sleek looking, and with the choice of the most popular finishes available, it fits nicely into any decor. And then technically, we've perfected its artificial intelligence capabilities, and we added Bluetooth to fit into the smart Internet of Things world.
One of the things that we have a heart for in common is having things made in America, and I really admire how hard you have worked to make this happen. Tell us why that's important to you, Carrie.
Throughout this journey, people like you and thousands of other people have told us how pleased they are that we are engaging in a U.S.-based manufacturing ecosystem. From the hardware shows to all of my travels and those of my team, we get little notes and pats on the back and high fives like, you know, you guys, you're really leading by example, and we'd be willing to pay more for your product because it's a made-in-the-USA product. And I think I was sharing with you one time, turnaround times. I don't have that worry. You know, I can drive a couple of hours and I can be face to face with my manufacturer. So if there's any kind of a glitch, you know, those things happen when you're creating something from nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so much nicer to be able to say they're right there. They have the same agenda. Quality control is all buttoned up. And at the end of the day, when you can look at the numbers and you say, oh my gosh, how competitive were these? It makes me sleep really well at night. And I'm so thrilled to be able to put U.S. workers back to work in many cases. I know it would make my grandparents and my great-grandparents very, very proud.
Well, we are just loving following your story, Carrie. We plan to keep up with you. And I wanted to tell our listeners, June, July, and August are big months for you. Looks like we're going to have some big breakthroughs and kind of be able to wrap this up. And by Christmas, we should be able to purchase this. And you told me that Amazon and Sharper Image have agreed to carry it. So we're going to keep our listeners posted and let them know where they can find the product as it comes out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yes, we'll be sending you all the latest and greatest so that you can share that with your listeners. And if there's anything else, I'll certainly get in touch with you and share that.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks for joining us this Saturday.
Thanks, Rosie. Give my best to the family and hello to Arizona. Love you guys and thanks so much. God bless.
Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. Up by the bus stop and across the street.
Rosie said it. We have a packed program. Let's get right to it. In studio with us, we have Amanda Keim. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Welcome. You're in the commander's seat today. I was sorry about that. You got two buttons to turn on for the microphone.
Well, I didn't want to push the wrong one and then end up like having to sing for you or something. So no. I thought it would be best to just let you guide me through this commander center.
Well, we've found the Keim Ranch. I don't know exactly how, but we, at the beginning of the year, made a rededication to go American. If it wasn't American-made, learn to live without it. And that was the hardest part of that for me was all the brand of jeans I wear, Wrangler, Cinch, Ariat, all of them were outsourced. I'm like, where, when these go bad, I'm not going Adam and Eve style.
Thank you.
But I where's my Western blue jeans?
And then here we came like a knight in shining armor.
Like a knight in shining armor. And the best part of it, not only are y'all American made, you're based in Arizona.
Right here in your backyard. Can you believe it?
And how long have y'all been around?
We started in spring of 2009, my husband and I.
So
and here we
I'm
are.
Embarrassed. How did it take us 8 years to find y'all?
Well, it took us 8 years to really kind of get legs on the ground. I shouldn't say 8 years, but I mean, we had a slow start. We really do have the quit your job, start your dream story.
Tell me about it. Let's
so,
hear it.
Well, in 2008, my husband and I were wildly in love and we got married. And after that, in 2009, we had these big dream speeches about hopes and dreams and how we could conquer the world together. And we wanted to create a brand that would grow larger than us. And we always landed on denim. And I think part of that is because we showed horses for so many years. So we were in the saddle wearing jeans all day, every day. And we really had this hard time with wearing Western jeans that we weren't happy with for whatever reason at that time, or wearing fashion jeans. Well, fashion jeans aren't durable and they can't last in the saddle and they're expensive. And so you would tear them up. And our Western jeans were, well, not flattering. And we didn't want to wear them out somewhere. It was just this hot mess. You had, you know, fashion jeans.
You don't
jeans
like the waistline 3 inches above your belly button?
No. I mean, some people do. That's cool. But no, not for me. So we were like, well, let's create jeans. We, you know, how hard can that be? So we, you know, we talked about this a lot. And then literally one day, Matt called on the phone and he had this awful day.
And
at
Matt
work.
Is?
Matt's my darling husband. And he called and he said, you know, if we don't ever do this, we're not going to. And so literally 3 days later, we were in Los Angeles. I had quit my job. He had really scaled back on his business. And we drove to Los Angeles and we started knocking on doors. And it was like, hi, you know, do you guys sell denim? Sure, come on in. What are you looking for? Blue denim. We had to go from door to door and really figure out how jeans are made. We Googled how to make jeans. We sat down with all of our jeans and drew them out and spec'd them out and created what we felt was the perfect product. And then we had to figure out how to kind of implement this into the real world. So that's really where we started. Really interesting. We knew we wanted to be American made because it was easier for us to control your quantities, your quality, all of those aspects. And we didn't want to spend an exorbitant amount of money on something we didn't know a lot about at the time. And we, if you went to Asia or something, you had to make, you know, 3,000 units or 5,000 units. And we certainly didn't have the wherewithal at that time to do so. When we went to Los Angeles in 2009, as we all remember, there was a recession going on. And Los Angeles was a ghost town. Buildings were boarded up. The fashion the garment district down there, there was just nothing going on. So we had to make a lot of phone calls and go to a lot of whatever doors were open, and we landed on the same contractors we still use today. Our loyalties together were, you know, really parallel in making our brand go, keeping their businesses alive, and they taught us what we know. So, you know, we are forever grateful for those relationships, and that was really important for us to continue keeping everything stateside. We always said, no matter how big we get, if we have to get more contractors or whatever, we're going to do that to keep the brand, the denim side, you know, staying right here in Los Angeles or right there in Los Angeles.
So who designed the jeans?
Matt and I designed the jeans. And so basically what we did was we took all of our jeans and would lay them out on the floor. And then we would measure everything, measure the belt loops, measure where the pocket sits, measure how big the pockets were, measure the zipper, where the, you know, where the knee hit, where the ankle was, all those things, probably way more than we needed to. And we would then take and say, well, I think that the jean needs to sit a little higher on my waist. I think that the boot opening needs to be a little smaller because I don't like walking on my jeans. We took all of those elements and then you take them to a pattern maker, someone that can actually draw it out on paper. And that person, you know, kind of helps bring the jean to fruition at that point. So
now, whose brilliant idea was it to design in the men's jeans a pocket for your knife?
Well, it was absolutely my idea. So that was my husband's idea. So he, as you know, most people in the Western side of it, or even, you know, kind of hardworking men, you all wear a knife pocket. And you know what it's like when you're trying to get your hand in your pocket and you're sitting down and you can't pull it out and you're cutting your knuckles on the tip of your knife or whatever. So he was just not happy.
And the knife makers finally got savvy to that and they started putting clips on it that you could clip on. But every person that has a jeans more than 6 months, you start to see the top of that pocket fray. You can tell that's where he keeps his knife.
That's where he keeps his knife. So he took the first prototypes. They were just existing jeans we had, and he would cut a little swath of denim and take them to his mom, and she would take her little home sewing machine and kind of maneuver where we thought we should put them on the jeans. And so when we first came out with it, people were like, why do you have a pocket there? Why would we put our knife there? And now people that wear the brand couldn't ever imagine going back to not having that knife pocket.
It's absolutely brilliant. I'm surprised that you haven't seen other manufacturers and brands catch on to that.
But we have.
You've got competition chasing you now?
Yes, it's coming. It's coming. But, you know, that's like the biggest form of flattery there. So I try not to get my feathers too ruffled over stuff like that.
Now, I will have one critique for the knife pocket, though.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Why don't you have one on the left? Not everyone in the world is right-handed.
I know. And you know what? We get asked that semi-frequently. We need to create like a right-handed knife pocket jean versus a left, like a right Twix, left Twix type of thing with our jeans. So you can choose.
More with Kimes Ranch Western Wear right after this.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or ranking Arizona.
He's got the red, white, blue, flying high on the farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag. In the back it says USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With
America. Made in America.
So you may be able to help me with this one, Amanda. How are we going to get Craftsman back to America?
Oh, man.
I cannot tell you how crushed I was in my yard, turning a wrench, probably working on one of my kids' bikes or something like that. And I just happened to glance at it. I would just go grab Craftsman. I never even looked at Craftsman. I just grabbed it off the shelf and go. And I was like, made in China. And I just, my whole world ended.
I know. And that happens, unfortunately. You know, it's tough. It's tough for us.
So I go buy American or learn to live without it. That's my motto going forward. And I've got my Kimes jeans on.
They look nice.
This is Schaefer's.
Very nice.
I had to find an American shirt. This is a Schaefer's belt. I've got to find, I don't know where these boots are from. I can't find any manufacturer left on it. They're so old that any labeling's worn off. But I'm down to boots. And I brought my hat in because I've got this transition going on. That hat, it has a flag in it, American. You flip it over, it says made in Mexico. So I've got to find a hat and boots, and my transition will be complete.
I can help you with that. I have a lot of good friends that are hat manufacturers, and I have some good friends down in Texas that make us some boots. So
excellent. Well, you'll have to share those with me afterwards. But let's get back to y'all's product. The denim, so it's all put together in L.A.?
Yes. All the blood, sweat, and tears come out of Los Angeles. And then all the components come from around the country. So we design, we cut the denim, we sew the denim, and we wash the denim all in Los Angeles. Our zippers come from downtown Los Angeles. There's only one zipper manufacturer left in this country. And if I am mistaken, I would love to be corrected on any of these details, if you know of some insight that I don't. We use a manufacturer called Yukan, and he's an Asian gentleman that brought his factory over here, I believe in the 70s, and set up shop. And they do a wonderful job, great quality. They really stand by their product and correct things if we need them that way. Our denim comes from Cone Mills in North Carolina. So I can't say 100% of the cotton because, unfortunately, due to, you know, economical situations, sometimes it doesn't work that way. But as much cotton as they can comes from the States and then is made in North Carolina. And that goes into our denim. Our buttons come from a company called Scoville Buttons. Those are made stateside. And as often as we can, we have our labels woven in the States and our tags are printed in the States. So we do absolutely everything that we can within our power at that given situation to keep the product all here. So it's exciting.
Well, and I had asked going into the break, why can't we have a pocket on the left side? Your husband, Matt, has texted and he's got an answer for that.
He texted in. He said, you know, carrying the inventory, now you have twice as much inventory to hold to please you right-handeders versus your left-handeders. So it's a logistical issue more than anything.
So can you just make a line that has them both?
Well, we will certainly request that.
What if I want to wear two knives? I have one on each side.
Well, you wouldn't be afraid of much if you did that. You would be the king of the hill
now,
that way.
Now, this is the Watson line. You'll have three different lines of men's. You've got the Watson, the Cal, and the Chuck, correct?
Watson 2, Cal, Chuck, and Dylan, and Wayne.
Oh, okay. I don't have a Dylan or a Wayne, but I've got the Cal, the Chuck, and the Watson.
Yes.
So the Cal and the Chuck, the pocket's actually the knife pocket's inside the jean. You can't tell that it's there.
It's a welted pocket. So it's more, think of men's trousers versus men's denim. So the Watson knife pocket looks like a man's jean pocket, if you will. So it's placed on the exterior of the jean. And then the Chuck and the Cal, which you're referring to, have a welted pocket. So think of a men's trouser, how it's kind of tucked in a little bit, if you will, to be a little more sleek. That jean looks higher end. It feels higher end. It's a little more dressy. So it's a little sleeker look.
So could I talk Matt into just selling me like this little cut right here? And then I can just sew it on myself.
Yes,
on
we can side. Do that for you.
And another thing you mentioned as well is when you're roping on your right-handed side, if you're heading, once you dally off and you go to turn, that rope can land right on top of your knife.
Oftentimes people will say if the knife pocket were on the left side when they go to dally and he'll head their cow, it won't pop the knife out. So I just told him to become the other-sided roper.
You would have to then change your arena, or you're telling him to learn to be a healer.
Well, you know, logistics, whatever. Rope with the other
we
hand.
We figured out the American-made jeans. You figure out how to rope the other side. Come on. I can't do everything for you.
Very good.
Now, the price point. That's yes. always an issue when you're bringing a product to market. It can be a great product. It still has to sell. And obviously, when somebody goes to pull out their wallet and pay for something, that's the final decision in the process.
Yes. So that's always challenging. You know, we are in a very competitive price point market, which is the Western market. Our competitors price their denim anywhere from $20 to $25 less than ours or more in some instances. And we do get heat for that. And what I tell people is our jeans are going to last 2 to 3 times longer at least than the competitors. So you're really going to get, you know, you're going to get a lot more longevity out of the product, which is cost savings. Not to mention the other fact that our customer service is outstanding. We really pride ourselves on standing behind the product. If you have any issues, you call us up and we will replace the pair, we'll replace the damage, we'll replace the flaw, we'll send you something out. So if there's a manufacturer's defect, which that happens from time to time, you know, we will replace the product. You can't call our competitors, which we all know who they are, those large brands. You can't call them up and have that heartfelt conversation with them, with someone that really cares that you've spent your hard-earned money on something that's not 100% perfect, but you can with us. So.
Well, and I will attest to the fact I expect these to last longer than normal. Yes. I can tell just picking it up and feeling there's so much more material in them than my other pairs of jeans. The stone wash, that's something that's hard to find. I like the deep blue color. Mm-hmm. My wife Amanda really likes the stone wash as well. Mm-hmm. I've had mine probably 6 months now.
They look brand new.
And my whole thought process, I never would have said I'm somebody who's going to spend $100 on a pair of jeans. When I hear that, I'm like, that's the designer style. That's so foreign to me. But those designer jeans, most of them aren't even, I don't even know if any of them are made in America either. And
no.
the retro style of the, of like Wrangler and everything, they charge more and it's less material because it's all designer. I'm not going to play that game. But these are about $100. I expect about 5 years out of a pair of mm-hmm. jeans. You take that extra $30 or $40 spread over a 5 year period of time, mm-hmm. you're a nickel or you're a quarter a month. I can afford a quarter a month over the lifetime of what I expect to get out of my jeans to go American.
Well, and here's my bleeding heart coming out, and I know we hear this, but it is so true. The cost of goods in this country is a lot more expensive. We have, you know, wage and labor laws that we have to abide by. However, when you buy American, here it is, you put that little boy through Little League, or you get that little girl into Girl Scouts, or you help mom and dad, you know, get their kids to summer camp, because what you're providing is not only job security for our business, Kimes Ranch, but for the zipper business that we do business with, the button business, the denim or the cotton side, the denim side, all those things go into it. So you're not only helping, you know, Kimes Ranch and the great community that we work with, but you're helping all the other elements that go into it. So, you know, we can't forget to really take care of each other here.
And you've brought in some goodies for us to give away to our listeners. You've got some great travel bags. You've got two different lines of hats. We posted the picture to our
yes.
Facebook page so you can see this, for example. Here's how we're going to do this. You text your favorite American-made product. It doesn't have to be jeans. It doesn't have to be hats. It doesn't have to be anything other than just this is American-made. Text that company name to 411-923. Everyone that enters will just pick at random. I think you've got 5 bags and 6 hats, so we'll have 11 winners today. You know what? We're going to have 10 winners because I'm going to take one of those
okay.
bags home to my girls.
Yeah,
they're going to love
one.
It.
Right here.
I'm bringing a gift bag home to Roxy and Tinley for their rodeo gear. Having a Western Ranch Kimes bag for their travel gear.
They will love
so
it.
So we'll have 10 winners today, and all you have to do is text your favorite American-made product to 411-923. We're going to list all those products on our website as well. If you go to rosieonthehouse.com, click on do-it-yourself question and answer, DIY Q&A. There's a category, American-made products, and we'll have those companies listed on those resources. And we're breaking those out. Originally, when we put that together, just one long page of what we found. And I say it was long. It wasn't that long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been growing.
Mm-hmm.
So much, in fact, we've started breaking them out by category. So when you click on American-made products right now, we've got a jeans category, we've got
nice.
A shirts category, we've got a coolers category, and look at that, 6 coming in. And I'm trying to find out. Let's see. So someone by the name of Tammy has texted in, and this was before the contest, and said, I met Kimes at Double D's Western Wear when they were when they came to demo their product. They are salt
hey,
of the
Tammy.
Earth and wonderful people. So a little little testimony to you there from one of our listeners.
I am salt of the earth and wonderful people.
And so your husband, native Arizona.
Yes.
Shadow Mountain High School.
Yes, class of 91.
You, although not from Arizona, your grandfather was the first sheriff of Flagstaff?
My great-grandfather, my mother's grandfather, so my, yes, my, well, great-great, however that works, great, whatever. He was the first sheriff of Flagstaff. So my, both sides of my family are natives. I just happened to be born outside of the state, but I still consider myself native. I'm pretty rooted here. My family's all from here. My husband's family's all from here. So we love Arizona very much. So
not only an American-made product, but an Arizona-born
Arizona
and raised.
Born, well, raised. Arizona-raised, yes, very much so.
So have you ever talked, you talk about the five C's of Arizona. You've got climate. Mm-hmm. You have citrus. You have copper. You have cattle. Did I already say cattle?
Mm-mm, no, cattle.
So, cotton.
Do we grow cotton here anymore?
Oh, yeah.
A lot?
We do.
Really?
We do. In fact, we even have Yuma cotton that is probably wouldn't work. I know it wouldn't work for denim. It's close to what you would consider an Egyptian cotton.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
We're going to have to tie the cotton industry into all this somehow. I know y'all are
I will pull some data on where all the cotton comes from that we use. Because, well, most of ours comes from North Carolina and Georgia, to be honest, mm-hmm. because that's on the East Coast. But it would be really fascinating to work with some Arizona cotton growers for sure. So
tie all this together somehow.
Now,
if somebody wanted to find a Kimes Ranch apparel, where do they go?
You need to go visit us at KimesRanch.com, and you can navigate our website and go look at the denim and some of the other items we have to offer. Make sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. We have a very loud social media community. It's a lot of fun to follow us. We do live auctions on our Facebook page, so it's a lot of fun.
Live auctions, like excess product, or maybe you've got a new line you're trying. And
or
it's
sample items that didn't quite make the cut, or just whatever we feel like kind of giving to our community at that time. They're a lot of fun. I run it QVC style, so it's you get a sticker, and you get a koozie, and oh, wait, we have other stuff.
So. Wonderful. Well, thanks for coming down here this morning. I know you got in late last night because you were busy. You were touring the cotton.
Well, actually, that was 2 weeks ago. This week, we were in Texas scouting high school rodeo kids, trying to scout them for our endorsement team. So we were at the Texas High School Finals in Abilene.
Wonderful. So, did you make any contacts?
We did. We have a lot of really great rising stars we're excited to add to our team.
Wonderful. So you got in late last night because you were busy with mm-hmm. that. Thanks for getting up early, being down here. We didn't ask you to bring anything. You did. You brought some stuff for us to give away. Again, text your favorite American-made products to 411-923. And we will – I didn't know how many we were going to get. We've got 49 new messages.
Sweet.
And that comes after 10 entries already. Now, this has created a monster for myself because we're going to have to go validate a lot of these products. And
well, and tricky right now, I will say this, a lot of businesses, although they're not 100% stateside anymore, a lot of businesses are bringing back pieces and elements. So sometimes someone will buy socks or something from a company that's not known for American-made socks, but maybe they have one style. So mm-hmm. there's a lot going on.
Well, and we can change that.
Good.
The consumer has the mm-hmm. authority and the ability to change it just by simply sticking to the American-made and not buying it if it's not.
Yes.
You know what? You want to buy your product? We have, I won't spill the beans and we're over time, but we've got a lot of great things in the work and it's very exciting. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being an American-made product and I'm finding a solution for me and having a Western cut.
And you look good.
Denim
so
jeans.
You look great.
Y'all's jeans are wonderful. They're beautiful. Little bitty baby, my mama will rock me in the cradle. In them old cotton fields back home. Hey, we got cotton fields right here. You don't need to go back home.
In fact, Romy, we got a call from Jay Harper over at Harper's Nursery, letting us know that a friend of the show, Kevin Rogers, is the executive director of the Arizona Cotton Growers Association. So we have a connection.
See, I knew Kevin Rogers was the former president of the Arizona Farm Bureau, was for years. He only retired or turned in his, finished his service because he was running for the American Farm Bureau Association. He would have been the first Arizona president, but, you know, I mean, it's a numbers game. You've got Texas and you've got California. We're land size. We're not going to beat the number of votes those states have when
it comes to
farming.
Yeah, that's pretty tough to beat Texas in anything when it comes to size.
So, fortunately, he didn't win. I know his kids are champion pig raisers and showers in 4-H. I had no idea he was the Cotton Farmer President Association.
The Arizona Cotton Growers Association of Arizona.
Okay. Well, and I've got a good friend who's moved to Wilcox. I don't know that he farms cotton anymore, but John Hart, the Hart family, he's got a brother in Maricopa that I think he still farms. His brother in Maricopa still farms cotton. So we're going to get Kevin, we're going to get the Harts, and we're going to get him in touch with the Kimes, who have been our guests this hour.
Yes.
And you had mentioned your great-great somebody was
my mother's grandfather. My mother's grandfather was the first sheriff of Flagstaff.
What was his name?
Oh, gosh. You know, I can't quite remember, and I'm afraid if I do remember, I'll say it completely inaccurately. But my mom this weekend is in Sonoyta, so I'm unable to reach her to find out.
Great Arizona staycation. She's down there at the wine touring, or is she down there just enjoying
She's down there at one of the oldest horse shows in the state there. It's a Sonoyta horse show down there, and so she's working that. That's part of her work. She enjoys helping out at the horse show, so she's down there with horses all weekend.
That would be a great staycation to go see that. And so we had a texter that said, that's funny, my great-grandfather was sheriff of Coconino County, and grandpa was deputy sheriff under Perry Francis. So we're going to have to get...
I will have to find that out and send it. I'll text it back to you so you can get back to him, and we'll see if there's any connection there.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for your time. And
absolutely.
Kimes, that's K-I-M-E-S.
Kimes like dimes.
Kimes like dimes, ranch.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's one staycation we haven't done, Rosie, the horse show in Sonoyta.
Yeah, that would be one to put on the list for sure. And I want to thank you for getting me my first pair of Kimes jeans. They're going to let me wear jeans now year long, because it used to be the jeans I wear are so hot. Come April or May, I had to get out of them and go into something else. But those Kimes light denim jeans are the most comfortable light pair of pants I've worn in forever. So, Romy, thanks for bringing this up to light. Hopefully everybody can find a place they can secure a pair of jeans.
And do you remember what yours are? The light?
Mine are the cows.
Cows. The cows are nice.
They're the cows.
The Watson are much thicker. They're much tougher. They're my heavy-duty riding jeans. But the cows are nice.
Yes, and that Sonoyta horse event would be an excellent staycation. We've got a lot of them going on around the state right now, and we'd like to encourage you, the Arizona listener, to jump on to rosieonthehouse.com and register for your Arizona staycation. We'll pick a winner at the end of every month, so if you don't win, don't forget, you can re-register every single month. At the end of every month, we empty all the registrations and we start all over. So get in there and register for your staycation. It's brought to you by Sanderson Ford. You're allowed to go over to the Sanderson Ford lot and pick any car you want off of their demo lot. You tell us what days you want it. We make arrangements for it. We've got gift baskets from Sphinx Date Ranch, and you can go to any one of our many lodging partners throughout the state. Like if you're interested in getting up to Sedona, we've got the Sedona Best Western Plus, which absolutely has some of the best views in the entire Sedona Valley of the Red Rock Country. And I'd like to just throw a little thank you out to another lodging partner in Prescott, the Hacienda Inn, who actually bailed out our radio broadcast team from East Valley Institute of Technology when, due to a minor complication of arranged guests, they had to pitch out to Hacienda Inn, and Hacienda Inn perfectly accommodated him. So Evett was able to have their students in broadcasting pull off their broadcast as scheduled. Thank you, Hacienda Inn. That's all a part of the big family we've put together all across Arizona for you to be able to participate in the staycation. Only place in the world you can register for it is at rosieonthehouse.com. Roamingtheoutdoors.com. Roaming the Outdooring segment coming up.
We have John Eisenhower, who's actually remote in Flagstaff. He was up there with the Arizona Community Tree Council for their fruit trees clinic. And he stayed the night, and he's got an access unit, and he's going to be live from NAU campus, where they've got a great they've even had the tree climbing contest there. They've got such a great canopy there. So we'll be looking forward to getting John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service on the line. Talking trees, calling now with your question for
at rosieonthehouse.com or Ranking Arizona.